Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to dismiss our children to Children's Church at this time. Amen. I'd like to turn your attention to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. First Corinthians 9 and verse 24. Paul's saying, now know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we and incorruptible. There are a lot of people who are running a race today, a lot of people doing a lot of things in order to benefit themselves and their families, their business, whatever. But you know, whatever we get out of this life, it's always temporal, but what we do for God is eternal. And it goes on to say, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So Paul's saying, I'm going to give it everything I have. I'm going to run, and I'm going to have to deal with some things in my own life, because even though I preach to many, I myself might be a castaway. And then if you turn to Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and verse number 13, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth onto those things which are before. You can't reach forth if you're still holding on to something behind. And then it says, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying, I have to press towards the mark. I have to make an effort in order to get to that high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And then if you turn to Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10, very familiar scripture. It says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. So that's the idea of the church is, you know what? You need to enjoy your salvation. Enjoy in Jesus. And then we need to reach out to those who haven't got him. It says, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God tonight. We're grateful. We're grateful for Sundays. We're grateful for the time, specific times that we can spend with you, Lord, that you encourage us and build us up. And we're grateful, Lord, for your presence in this place tonight. We thank you. It's in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Philippians 3 and 14 says, I press or pursue or run after the mark or the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we're pursuing after God. I was thinking today about Mary and Joseph went for the Passover, brought Jesus, 12 years old, and they're on their way home with all of the relatives, maybe a similar to a Thanksgiving feast, and all of a sudden, 3 days later, they realize he's not with them. 3 days without Jesus. We can go from Sunday until Wednesday and not pick up our Bible or really spend any real quality time with God, and that's not good. What what Paul is saying, we need to pursue him. We need to run after him. We need to make some goals. Every day I feel like I must accomplish as much as I possibly can. It's just my nature. And at the end of the day, I generally review what I have accomplished. What did I do? What did I get done in the natural as well as in the spiritual? Did I accomplish something? Did I encourage somebody? Did I do something that needed to be done? It's good to have goals to compare your progress. I also try to exercise 3 times a week, and after I have, I realize that I have more energy. My pulse is down, my blood pressure is down because I'm doing something physical. And the same is true in your spiritual life. When you pursue after God in the spiritual, you have a lot of benefits. I said last week, had a little water problems in our basement. We had a suitcase full of pictures, and we brought it upstairs. And once you open the suitcase, you start looking at all these pictures. And my wife found a picture of me when I was getting out of basic training, and she gave it to me. And I have it now on my desk. What I should do is put it on the refrigerator. You know, I really was in a whole lot better shape than I am right now. Today, I actually went down into the basement, and I started lifting some weights because I was motivated by that picture that I have on my desk. And it was either that or call for a reupholsterer. We always want to see results immediately with whatever we do. So I began with the great big weights. You know, and I stand before you tonight a new man from what I was earlier today. You know, it's not about having one great service. It's about having consistency and doing the same thing over and over and over. That puts you in a very spiritual realm. You know, sometimes we just want that great big revival and then we're good for a while, you know. But that really isn't going to help us spiritually, but it's the day-to-day living for God that really makes a difference. Isn't it amazing, all of the study and reading that I do, my head never increases in size, you know. With muscles, you know, they increase in size. They say no pain, no gain, so immediately I experience a lot of pain. Or a lot of gain. Wouldn't it be great that you could just hire somebody to exercise for you, you know? Amen. I don't know how much it would cost to get him on my treadmill or the weight machine downstairs. But could you do the same thing? Maybe you have. Hire someone to teach a Bible study or to fast and pray. Could you go to my relatives? Could you talk to them about God? I don't believe that God has people who are designated to go to someone that God has put in my life or in your life. And I think that God wants us all to become more spiritual. Everyone has them, but not everyone uses them. The trouble we have is getting our brain to release them. We all have hormones within our body that are released by something that happens or triggers in our mind. The medical dictionary describes these hormones as hormones released by a sensor in the brain from the pituitary gland, and when released, it suppresses pain and tranquilizes the body, giving a feeling of joy or well-being or euphoria. And only the brain or the head can release these hormones in order to make you feel that way. There are reports of people who, in a situation where there is a great weight that needs to be lifted, and then all of a sudden they realize that the brain has released a hormone in order to give them super strength, to lift a car off an individual or something of that nature. They had it within them, but it wasn't released until they really, really needed it. Now, the brain will not release these hormones unless the body puts forth some kind of effort or some kind of catastrophe or situation that it is needed. Runners experience the release of endorphins the most because of their steady and continual effort in order to go further than they ever have before. They have to go beyond the place of comfort, press their bodies to go further, to experience the runner's high, press to the mark of the high calling, and then all of a sudden, the head releases something to us that says, you can do more. They have also found that a runner who uses headphones will not have the same benefit from these hormones. When people try to make the race easier, they don't receive the same benefits. And so when we're in the church and we just try to make it easier for us, but when we press to the mark of the high calling, then all of a sudden there's something that is released from heaven that we wouldn't get. An experiment was done with rats. I wonder why they always use rats. They confined the rats to one place and gave them shock treatments, loud, harsh sounds, little food, and a bad environment. And what a shock. Most of them died. But then they put these same rats in the same situation, but this time they put them on a treadmill and they all survived because they had something that they were doing. You know, people without a hope, people without a vision, perish. People without a goal in their life for one reason or another, you know. And when you've got something to look forward to, well, there's an excitement. Paul said, know ye not that they that run in the race run all, so run that ye may obtain. I therefore so run, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself may become a castaway. In other words, get involved in some kind of spiritual exercise. Otherwise, well, you're just not doing as well. No one ever backslides because they're doing too much in the church or under too much pressure. Maybe God has put me under pressure in order to keep me saved, you know. There comes a time where, like the prophet said after he called fire down from heaven, killed 450 of Baal's prophets, and then he was threatened by Jezebel. He said, it is enough. Take my life. Every one of us get to that point where we think, you know what? It's enough. I don't know if I can go beyond that. And then we need the head to release some hormones to us in order to give us a supernatural strength to go beyond what we would normally go beyond. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe even the devil can work in our advantage in order to cause us to just hang in there. Apathy is the worst enemy of the church. Doing little will kill the body, both the natural and the church body. Paul said that we are to strive or struggle for the ministry so we are not castaways or rejected by God. Amen. And so I have read about saints that were burned at the stake with smiles on their face. How in the world could that happen? We read about the first martyr, Stephen, and how he looked up and he asked God to forgive those who were throwing rocks at him. I don't understand how that can happen. He saw Jesus in heaven, and he died with a smile on his face. Now, the only way that can happen is you get something special from God in order to be able to do that. I need something special from God. I don't know if it's a hormone or a special anointing of God that causes you to go beyond where you would normally go. But there are times where I just have to go beyond. Hallelujah. Could it be that all of these were running with all? and the head, Jesus Christ, released the Holy Ghost in a dimension that they had never felt before. And now the depression is gone, the fear is gone, and there's a peace that passes all understanding. And their time of stress is relieved to give them joy and relief from whatever they're dealing with. You see, it's get me to church. I've got some problems. Get me to church. I've got an attitude. Get me to church. I need to get into the presence of God. Could it be that those who struggle the most spiritually are those who are not running the race with everything they have? And please, I'm not trying to rebuke anybody, but I'm saying, you know what? The best place that you could possibly be is running with all. When I was a kid in high school, I ran track and cross country, and so many times I felt like, you know what, I just need to stop. But I knew if I would just stop, it's over, you know? Just rest a little. And the enemy of your soul is saying, you know what, stop running, walk for a while. And then instead of walking, why don't you just stand for a while? And then instead of standing, why don't you sit for a while? And then why don't you lay down? And then you'll never get up again. And so many have been fooled by that point of view. Hallelujah. I don't want to kick back. Some of us want to make the race too comfortable. We listen to the preaching and the music, but perhaps not run the race. Jesus is in charge of releasing the joy to the body, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. There's another thing that will cause the brain to release endorphins and hormones, and that is laughter and a positive attitude. I don't know of a church that laughs more than this church. And sometime during the preaching, there's always going to be something that we're going to laugh about or feel joy. Proverbs 17 and 22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine or a cure, but a broken or an afflicted heart, our spirit drieth the bone." So a merry heart, someone who is laughing, someone who is enjoying what they're doing, it's almost like a medicine or a cure, you see. Positive comments actually release hormones of strength, while negative comments actually cause people to become weak. Years ago, it must be about 20 years ago, I remember doing a demonstration up here on the platform where I had somebody stand here with their arms out, and then I had somebody behind them. And during the time that they were standing behind them, they were saying negative things. And then they tried to pull the arms down, and it was easily. They pulled their arms down. But that same person stood behind them while their arms were out and started giving them positive reviews of their life and what they thought of them. And that same person could not pull the arms down of the individual because there was a positive word that was said to the individual, which gave them strength. You can't imagine what you're doing by encouraging somebody within the church just simply by saying, "I am so grateful for your faithfulness or your ministry or the song that you just sang." Because it really encourages, it gives strength to those who need the strength. The more we are exposed to the bad things that are happening in the world, the less joy that we have, and the harder it is to get into the presence of God. And you know, so much of the news, so much of what we're seeing in media today is always reporting on the negative things. And after you get done with it, you know what? You feel down. You literally are weaker than you were if you were reading the Word of God or listening to preaching or something of a positive nature. This is the good news. It's not the bad news. Glory to God. Just the diagnosis of a doctor can bring sickness on. It's been proven. I heard of a Dr. Norman Cousins who was diagnosed with cancer, and so his way of defeating it was locking himself in a hotel for a week, reading joke books and watching old funny movies. And he swore that he got better just because of all of the positive influence. And now I'm not saying that that's what you need to do. We've got a God that can heal. But start reading all of the promises of God within the Bible. And when you get done with reading all of the promises of God, all of a sudden you recognize, hey, you know, God can do this. Amen. The only reason we don't receive some things is because we don't have a level of faith in order to receive them. And by reading the promises and the good things in the Word of God, you are in a better place in order to receive it. Years ago, we had Brother Lance Appleton here. Brother Lance Appleton was an evangelist when I first came into the church. He recently passed away, but you know, he was one of those motivated evangelists who sang and played the instruments He wore tennis shoes, and he was a little bizarre, if you will. But I'll tell you what, he lifted people's spirits by his ministry. Brother Billy Cole, he also has passed, but what an incredible guy. One of the greatest prophets I think we've ever known in our lifetime. He's seen great revivals of hundreds and thousands of people filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name and seen the blind see and many, many miracles. But he's the kind of guy who would bring humor to the pulpit, and he would make people laugh and then punch him in the face, you know, with hard things. But it was so much easier to receive the hard things of God after you were laughing about something that he just said. And many times the subject of his humor was himself. Here's a guy that was about 600 pounds, and he was always making fun of himself and getting on planes and how many seats he had to have. He said one time he was in, I think, the Philippines, he was on the back of a truck because that's the only way they could transport people, and so they helped him up on the truck, and then when they got to where they were, he jumped down. Well, he jumped and his pants kept going, you know. So there he's standing just in his whatever. And all of these Filipinos started to laugh, and then they didn't want to disrespect the man. And he said, just go ahead and laugh, you know. But it was that joy. You see, I remember being with Brother Wakefield down in Mexico, and I was preaching, and we were in Acapulco. Maybe some of you were with us. Maybe Sister Nibia was with us or some others. And there was a lady who had a neck problem, and Brother Wakefield prided himself in his Spanish. But instead of praying for her neck, he said, let's pray for this lady's horns, you know. And so the entire congregation just started laughing. But that was such an anointed service because there was a release of, okay, you know, we're all family. We're just loving God. We're all human, you know. You really want to laugh at something, laugh at yourself. Don't take yourself so seriously that you can't really enjoy God or allow other people to have a good time as well. Amen, amen. It releases endorphins to the body and the joy of the Lord. And I believe that we should be able to enjoy our experience with God and especially enjoy our experience with each other. You need to look for positive things to say to one another. Don't inspect the soil. What you need to see is, what good thing can I say in order to build up somebody else, to strengthen somebody else, so there's some joy that comes to everybody has good traits, and believe it or not, everybody has some problems. Please don't line up and tell me about all of my problems tonight. If there's anything good in me, it'd be nice to hear it every once in a while, that I don't get to the place where I say, it is enough, God. You know, this is enough, God, you know? Amen. I love God, and I believe that he has a sense of humor, and I believe that he wants to strengthen us and give us joy. And David would not have said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen? If you're glad, would you stand, please? Amen, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Shall we pray that during this week of Thanksgiving, a lot of us are going to be getting together with relatives, and I pray that God would open a door for us in order to speak to them, that there be a presence of God in our get-togethers, because the only thing that you can really take to heaven is your family. Amen. That God would somehow open a door some way that we would have a greater influence on our family this week. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?